This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
We are the radio show that is trying to once again figure out what channel True TV is on.
No, we're not. We know it by now. That's an old gag.
What is it? So it's like rolling out the TV.
First off, cable guy over here. I know where to go.
Yeah.
You know I know where TNT and TBS and all of those things are.
But you don't know
True
what channel
TV's
it is.
True TV is right beside
it. You don't know what channel it is.
And guess what? I'll find it in like 2 seconds.
It's fine. You don't know what channel it is. Nobody knows what channel True TV is.
It's but
by,
okay.
By the end of the weekend.
Like I'm going to True TV anyways. Exactly. Real basketball is on ESPN.
The tournament kind of starts today. Josh Goodson and Hayes Permar coming at you from almost my back porch. We're doing shows from my back porch when the weather gets good again. We're going outdoors with this thing. We're screened in.
So porch beers?
After the show, we can have some porch beers as well. If you hear the sounds of bottles popping, that's just Limoncello LaCroix.
The best LaCroix.
That's not beers.
Put it on the poll. Is Limoncello LaCroix the best LaCroix? Because I think it is.
Before we officially dig into the things that you could talk about at lunch, let's talk about what would be happening at lunch normally, and that is the NCAA tournament. The first four starts tonight, so there's like a little taste of NCAA tournament, and of course, that's what it should be. Today should be, it's Christmas Day.
Greg Gumbel.
We did a video back in the day where like you're getting up like it's Christmas morning, you open a package, and it's just your remote control. We don't get that. So I am...
Like, what's the first game tomorrow? Like, what would we be seeing today? The first game, Virginia Tech and Florida, out of the gate.
It's a great start.
Like, it's way better than, like, them throwing me Texas Tech and Utah State. Like, I wouldn't get into that.
Yeah.
But Virginia Tech and Florida,
big conference team and a huge athletic program and, like, a toss-up game. Nobody really knows who's going to win that one. That's what we should be getting ready. We should be a Virginia Tech-Florida pregame show. Instead, and there's still people driving around that don't know this, the games do not start in earnest today. They're doing Friday through Monday.
Don't have to get your bracket in until tomorrow unless you pick an 11 seed. Unless you want to pick Michigan State to win their next game, too.
That might be important. I think a lot of people might do that. So are you missing games today? Because I'm open-minded.
No.
Maybe on the back end, this will be awesome to have games Monday night, but I am missing games right now.
Not really. I'm good.
What am I going to do this afternoon? Nothing to do.
I'm still looking at a house that's not moved in yet. I see lots of things that can be done. There can be stuff on the wall. There's boxes.
Tell him he's wrong, Hayes.
Please don't.
There's boxes of stuff just still sitting here. What are we working on now? Like month four?
We still got a floor. We're still getting the carpeting or flooring done.
So you can't empty the box that I'm looking at. Got a blanket in there.
This is what it's come to.
We've got a blanket.
This is 4 months of now doing the 5 months maybe of doing the show once again from home.
Yeah. There's real basketball tonight.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Let's start with the things that you can talk about at lunch. Do we have to start with the NC State Wolfpack and the NIT tonight? Or can I talk about NCAA tournament news?
Look, Kevin Keats. This was fantastic. We joke a lot, but this hearing and coaches say things and it's like coach speaky type stuff. He said something yesterday that was just like, I just giggled whenever I saw the transcript of it.
Keats took it to another level. Here is how he described the pack playing in the NIT, which started last night, but the Wolfpack gets started tonight. Here's Kevin Keats.
From what I've seen with our guys the last couple of days, I see excitement. I see guys that want to play. I understand. We've talked about this. We're blessed to be one of 84 teams left playing in our season. And I think that's
right,
important.
Baby.
We're good. We're blessed to be one of 84 teams remaining playing.
that's true. Well, technically,
Duke can't say that.
Technically, now it's 82 teams.
82. RIP to Toledo and whoever Western Kentucky beat.
It was Western Kentucky at the buzzer over St. Mary's. Huge upset. A 3-2.
Yeah.
And the Richmond Spiders. Yes,
I had that upset.
Toledo.
Called it.
76. You had Western, the Hilltoppers. Didn't BG say Western Kentucky had somebody?
They had a guy.
NBA prospect, yes.
Western Kentucky, they had a guy. So yes, Kevin Keats. That is, Keats has been working on his game because when he when they finished the ACC tournament, they lost their first game. He went to the press conference and there were like multiple questions about whether or not they would take an NIT bid if they got one. Mm-hmm. And then somebody hit him with the like, I mean, what about the NCAA tournament? And Keats wasn't going to like stump, mm-hmm. but he had ready to say, well, we've got the best win in the league this year. We won at Virginia and nobody did that but us. He was ready to go. So now we are one of 84 teams left playing. Well, and again, technically, that was true when he said it. It's now 82 teams. But good on Kevin Keats. That's how you play the game. You get your messaging out there, and then you go back it up with wins. All right, there has been discussion. I hear Joe Giglio on Wolfpack Sports Talk Radio in the afternoon telling me that everyone...
99.9 The Pack later, 3 o'clock.
Telling me that everyone in the athletic department did not want them to play this game.
Except
and I'm joking, Kevin, because Giglio has them all in his Rolodex. But Kevin Keats did want to play, and they're playing anyway. You were the only one who would dare to say to Kevin Keats' face when you didn't want him to play a game and you guys discussed it.
Yeah.
Like two sports talk gentlemen. How did you feel about them playing this game, Josh Goodson?
Well, I think it's first off, and I've seen people talk about it. It's dumb that they are playing David's. Well, you could have just played this like Monday.
Right.
And then somebody fly out to Texas with, yes. you know, with all the COVID stuff, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. But I think Kevin Keats is. The next couple months for all teams is going to be huge, like retention time. There's no law or no rules about you don't have to sit out, right? It was a free year.
Free year.
First off, it's a free year for people to come back.
Eligibility.
And I don't think there's any transfer
penalties.
Penalties
free,
and such.
Free transfer.
So there's going to be some mass exodus, and there's going to be a lot of fans who are looking at the teams, their favorite teams right now, and they're going to. If you're an NC State fan, you're probably pretty excited about, you know, what next year would look like. Are you going to be excited if, for, you know, I'm using an example.
Totally making love.
Cam Hayes transfers. And people are going to, like, lose their mind. Like, wait, he was one of our best freshmen. He was playing. Why would you want to leave? But things like that are going to happen. You don't know who it's going to be. And I think Kevin Keats is very big on right now of understanding that one way to keep your guys around – like, literally keep playing games.
They can't leave. We shorten the offseason. That's less time we can leave.
And we joke about that, but I think it's another way to, like, give them some more opportunities to play together, be cohesive, and maybe if you are a Cam Hayes and a Shaquille Moore, knowing that your two guards coming back, that you look at who they've recruited, more guards coming in, you're like, okay, is there still going to be a place for us on this team?
Yep.
Next year, and should I leave to go somewhere else, or should I, you know, stick around? And so I think it's way more on that. I think that's a big piece of playing in this tournament for a team like NC State.
To echo what you're saying, to be clear, if anybody just tuned in and was like, wait, why is Jazz good to talk about dudes transferring? A, this has been a growing trend in college mm-hmm. sports in general, and then this year is just going to be because of the pandemic year and all the weird rules, it's going to be a thing. So part of what we're saying is dudes transferring from your program may not be the sign that it has been in the past.
That there's
right?
something going on.
It's just going
it's gonna
be,
happen.
Yeah, it's just going to be the way it is. There's going to be crowding for playing time because of extra eligibility and extra transfer. And it's just going to happen. It doesn't mean that your coach – I think we already saw Isaiah Wilkins enter the transfer portal.
Like,
for Wake Forest.
Once your season's done – like, you don't see your coach.
Yeah.
You don't have practice. There's no practices anymore. There's no – I mean, you see it. It is – oh, this person's on the transfer portal. This, you know, it's going to happen to a lot of teams, and it's going to be a lot of big-time players where a lot of fans are going to say, like, well, why did he leave? He was good.
Yeah.
He played a lot. And so I think NC State, for that reason, like, they want to get the taste of the Syracuse game out of their mouth because their season didn't end as good as they wanted to, and this is a way to keep playing. And I think also just fine-tune – are you going to be a part of this or not? And you know, see where you go.
Next up on things you can talk about at lunch, the actual NCAA tournament that should be starting today. We do have games. The first four tonight in Dayton, Indiana. We've just picked up Dayton and we've moved it. 5:10 is Texas Southern versus Mount St. Mary's. That's for a 16 seed. Then at 6:30, Drake and Wichita State is on TBS. That'll be the winner will be an 11 seed. At 8:40. Our App State Mountaineers take on Norfolk State from the MEAC. That's on True TV. Winner gets Gonzaga. And then at just before 10 o'clock, UCLA, Michigan State on TBS. I mean, it's a monster game. You see two huge programs, UCLA, Michigan State in the first four. Again, winner gets an 11 seed. But
there are tickets for sale for these things. Did you know? I mean, there's like limited fans. And like, so because of that, like I'm looking at a
StubHub.
Vivid Seats, which is like a StubHub, same thing. Cheapest ticket to get in tonight to Michigan State UCLA, $90. I mean, the ticket prices are high because it's like going to Canes games now. If you go look at any night on like a StubHub or anything for a Canes home game, like the prices are pretty ridiculous.
Just to be in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's classic supply and demand. Yeah. There ain't a lot of supply at these limited games. The other big news in the NCAA tournament is a thing that you can talk about at lunch. And that is, we've already seen the ACC be affected by COVID. Virginia was the big team in question coming in, right? It looks like every team has announced that they are good to play. The bracket is locked. So Louisville was holding out hope. They're out. But the focus has turned from Virginia.
I wanted that to happen. I wanted Louisville to get in. I just wanted somebody to get the call like today.
To slide in, hey, like a three seed.
Like randomly get Drake can't go tonight at 6:27. Louisville. Can you get here in like 4 hours? And they're like, I don't know if we can make it. Then you just go to the next team.
Just calling people. Hey, can you hang? It's like getting a pickup game together. Hey, man, we almost got fours. We need like three more people and we can play. But the big news was somewhere else in the ACC. It came out that maybe Georgia Tech had a positive test.
I think we already knew that there was someone in there. It was already disclosed earlier in the week that they had someone in their traveling party the way that the verbiage they used, that someone was not going to be playing. And it ended up being their best player.
It is the ACC player of the year, Moses Wright. Josh Goodson, you were pointing this out. The Vegas line moved on even before the report of who it was came out. Georgia Tech went from being like a 2-point underdog to a 5-point underdog.
Yeah, like yesterday there was a pretty sizable shift in the the gambling markets and such, and so you start playing the game of, well, what do they know? And it ended up being right that when it ends up being Moses Wright, your best player, that's going to move a line.
Are you tempted to take the points now? Like, because the line's going hard.
I kind of like Georgia Tech still.
I did too.
Like, because this sounds, I know people are like, Josh Pastner, like, I think he's a decent coach and they'll figure it out. And I don't know. You're still an ACC team. You're still in the NCAA tournament. And they still got Jose Alvarado. Like, there's three. We're going to talk about bracket guy in a little while.
Sure.
I think there's like three or four teams. Georgia Tech's not included because they were probably going to be in the tournament. But they were a team that won their conference tournament that was not supposed to win their conference tournament. Georgetown and Oregon State.
Okay.
I think the other two are like, yo, we're good.
We're
like,
happy to be here.
We're happy to be here. They're probably I don't think they're going to win. Like, they're the every year this someone gets in, a bid thief gets in, and then they get crushed because they probably just poured it all out. But I think because Georgia Tech has Jose Alvarado, the senior who wants to be there, they're still good enough to play. The line went from, it was 2.5 yesterday morning and moved up to 6 within a day, which is, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's the biggest headline I've seen so far at the NCAA tournament as far as COVID-related stuff. But again, Raleigh's Moses Wright out for at least the first game. I don't think they said anything about potential.
I think Jeff Goodman already tweeted something to the effect of he's not probably going to be available this weekend.
The whole weekend.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Like if you're.
Yeah.
But
some of those
today.
Things fall on like, 7-day time where like, even getting two more days could make you available. Again, UNC plays their first game against Wisconsin. That game's Friday around 7 o'clock. And the NCAA tournament, once again, PSA, if you got out of work for this afternoon so that you could watch games, be aware. They don't start till 5 o'clock. But then you can watch State Davidson tonight.
I'm okay with it not being till tomorrow. Because I'm looking forward to Monday. I'm curious if Monday's going to happen and it's going to be awesome. Because nobody likes your Monday, the Mondays anyway. I never love Sunday, the last day being on a Sunday. It just feels like it's hard. Monday is a huge letdown in a normal year.
Yeah.
Because you've come off like a heater of 4 straight days and it coincided with a weekend.
Yeah.
So always getting up on that Monday to like go back to work and whatever is always kind of suck. Now, Monday, you could probably still work, but if your teams are playing, like I assume games Monday are going to be at noon, you know, noon to five, seven, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It might not be noon, but it'll be early.
It'll be afternoon games.
Yeah, because they still got to get in eight games.
It'll help the week. It'll be go by faster.
16 games Thursday, 16 games.
I'm okay with it.
16 games Friday, 16 games Saturday.
Like some of the best golf tournaments are whenever there's rain and it gets moved to Monday.
And you're like, all right, I'll watch.
Like NASCAR. I'm not watching a race on a Sunday, but when it gets rained out, you're like, hey, there's a race going on today.
Also a reminder, you can listen to all the games tonight for the first four on Buzz Sports Radio. You can check it out there. Next up on things that you can talk about at lunch. NFL free agency. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
NFL. Look, I've not been like breaking it down. I've just been telling you the best story of free agency each day. Okay. The thing that actually matters. Like, yesterday we told the story of Andy Dalton signing with the Bears. That was the interesting part of NFL free agency. All right. You ready for the interesting part of free agency?
Sure.
The Texans have signed Tyrod Taylor. Why is that interesting? He's seen as a legit, he's in the Bridge quarterback club, right? He's with Teddy Bridgewater and Ryan Fitzpatrick and all these other dudes.
I can hear things now.
We got a little microphone.
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay. He is seen as a Bridge quarterback. In theory, that means that the Texans could live without Deshaun Watson, and that means that Deshaun Watson is coming to the Carolina Panthers. I skipped a few steps there, but I'm telling you, if you're reading the tea leaves of what's happening, the signs for Deshaun Watson coming to the Panthers are good. The other interesting bit of news I like to pass on, just because it is a headline people are talking about, there are now two separate massage therapists who have sued Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. He's not facing any sort of criminal charges. He has denied them and has claimed that they're just people looking for money. But since his name is going to be big in the news until he signs with somebody, and that means any of this other news about him is going to be discussed. So I pass that along. Again, it's a lawsuit, not a criminal charge. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun Watson has denied the allegations. But the Texans signing Tyrod Taylor means that they are on the verge of trading Deshaun Watson to the Panthers. Of this, I am certain. All right, speaking of the Carolina Panthers, if you weren't excited about NFL free agency before now, if re-signing long snapper John Jansen didn't do it for you,
sure.
If Chris Manhertz being signed away with another team wasn't enough to get you going about Panthers free agency news, what about former Chargers inside linebacker Denzel Perryman signing with the Panthers? Does that get you hype? All right, let me try another one. How about ex-Cardinals edge rusher Hassan Reddick? Huh? Is that doing anything? All right. What about defensive lineman Morgan Fox? Huh? These are the Panthers signees yesterday. So I'll regurgitate what I see other people saying.
Sure.
This is, again, sort of good deals for decent dudes. None of these guys are superstars, but you can't have superstars at every position. So what you need at every other position is good value, right?
Right.
Do the Patriots thing of like, get somebody who's just average and then have like an above average, a really above average quarterback, couple above average defenders, and then have everyone do their job.
Should we remember, since we're in ACC country, that Denzel Perryman went to Miami and was a first team all ACC?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm also being told that Hassan Reddick was a first round draft pick who had 12.5 sacks last year. But it doesn't matter. The most interesting thing I saw about Hassan Reddick, went to Temple. We signed a Temple dude. And then the other Panthers related news, Curtis Samuel. If I told you that former Panther Curtis Samuel signed with another team, would you have a first guess as to what team that would be?
It would be either Buffalo or Washington.
That is correct. It was the Washington football team that picked up Curtis Samuel. I think the Panthers thought maybe Samuel might be seeking a bigger contract, but then it's been kind of a slow wide receiver market.
Right.
So there was hope that maybe you get him a little bit cheaper than expected and keep him. But he's, at best, he's the Panthers' like third wide receiver. And with Christian McCaffrey coming back, we're not going to need him to run the ball as much. And he signed a three-year almost $12 million a year deal for Curtis Samuel. And that, when we talk about getting good value out of dudes, I love Curtis Samuel. I like having Curtis Samuel on the team. I'm not sure if that's good value for Curtis Samuel. So in that sense, not that sad to see Curtis Samuel go. Happy to see him reunited with Ron Rivera in Washington. So yes, everybody who leaves Carolina goes to either Washington or Buffalo. And everybody who comes to Carolina comes from either Baylor or Temple.
I've got breaking free agent news. For real.
All right. I'll trust you. What is the breaking NFL free agency news, Josh?
From tweet from former NC State secondary player Brandon Bishop, who actually I played golf with Julio. Great guy. Never played golf with him. He just tweets, my friend Mike Glennon.
Okay.
To the Giants, per very reliable sources, which means
that's Brandon Bishop.
And now Ian Rappaport, Schefter, all them are being like, "Yep, this is correct." Basically, Glennon and Bishop are like,
"Yeah."
But so he's gonna be the backup. That's where I guess he's landed on.
So Glennon. So we got bridge guys, backup guys, starter guys, and superstars, right?
Yep.
Glennon is a backup guy. That's not a knock. It's still one of like the 50 best quarterbacks in the world. And he's a guy that you feel like if your quarterback goes down, he can come in and win it.
Well, that and like he's like the perfect situation of like he probably could be a starter, but then you look at who he's played for, like the offensive lines and the personnel around him. Like you plug him into, I'm using the Steelers because they are usually a franchise that has good players.
Usually, at worst, they're usually
or the Colts. It's kind of like team. That thing. You can plug a guy in and look good. Jacoby Brissett did that.
Yep.
He's like Glennon is the Bucks, but like pre-Brady Bucks, not the best Bucks. Bears, Cardinals, Raiders, Jaguars. Like if he was able to put on tape a season with the Colts and playing in front of them,
what would he look like?
He's probably starting quarterback, I would assume.
So. I like Brandon Bishop breaking news for us.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's funny how he did it, and like all the NFL people are like,
they're just retweeting
him. I can confirm
this.
Like, yeah.
Ah, there we go. So Mike Glennon to the Giants. I'm going to head down to the park later and see if I see Mike Glennon playing with his kid. Apparently he plays out there. Is Bishop in? He's in Raleigh?
Bishop's in Raleigh. He's in Raleigh. He plays golf.
Tell him to call into the show next. I think I've got his number, actually. Tell him to call in the show and break his NFL news on the air. So, I mean, we are the NFL free agency hub.
Can I tell a quick golf story? Real quick.
And then we'll break.
Yeah, real quick. Played with him. He was fine. He was like just like me. Like just like me and you.
If it's a Brandon Bishop golf story, sure.
Brandon Bishop golf story. All right. Like me, you, Julie, like all of us. Like we teeter in high 80s, low 90s world bogey golfers. Plays. He was fine front nine. And then on the back, there was some talk of wagering for the back, right? Okay. Just to make it fun, interesting. He's like, okay, I'm in. Makes an eagle. His first eagle ever. It was a par five. It was a downhill par five, but he hit. And it was one of those. He's never played the course. We're like, hey, you want to hit it down that way. If you're set up here, you're probably really good. Well, he hits his best drive of the day. His second shot, you still have to hit the good second shot, knocks his second shot. He's only like 150 out, 3 feet, makes it eagle.
And now everybody owes him money.
And I'm like, what just happened?
He's a hustler. It's Brandon Bishop, golf hustler.
Yeah.
I love it. The final things you can talk about at lunch, the Hornets lost 129-104 to the Nuggets, and they face the Lakers tonight. And the Carolina Hurricanes host Columbus tonight. The Hurricanes are on 99.9 The Fan. Join us tonight at 7. As the Canes return home to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tune in 30 minutes before the game. Keep it locked to the Fan after the game as Alec Campbell brings you Stormwatch and the Aftermath, presented by John Heaster Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lillington. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports and the Cover 3 podcast. And for March, he is a brackets expert, a NCAA tournament gambling guru, and apparently part of a bracket himself. We're going to ask you about the CBS Sports personality bracket that somebody posted. But first, we also make you sort of the de facto. We act like Chip Patterson is like in the room with CBS executives when they make decisions on like when to play games and broadcasting rights and things like that. So we make Chip Patterson our default CBS Sports spokesman, and I feel like they're comfortable with you doing that, Chip. So that's okay. So first off, Chip, I need you to grade these NCAA tournament promos as done by CBS soap operas. We got the first one earlier this week. Here's a clip from the Young and the Restless, their CBS NCAA tournament promo.
Didn't have Lehigh over Duke like I told everyone I did.
What did you just say?
I had Duke winning the whole thing. My bracket was in ruins. The Plumlee brothers, they were amazing. What was I supposed to do?
Get out of my hotel.
Don't act like you didn't think Austin Rivers was unstoppable,
get
Duke.
Get out of my life!
All right, that's the Young and the Restless. Chip Patterson, give me a grade for that NCAA tournament promo.
A+. Homer, A+, just because the Austin Rivers line was great. And actually, I do know the person who wrote the scripts for these. And there was even some improv by these soap opera actors and actresses. Like they kind of did some of their own and really got into it and enjoyed it. But I know Nice. Who wrote that line, and it's an A+ line.
Can you tell it? Can you reveal who wrote the Austin Rivers line?
I believe it's Robbie Snyder. I mean, I'll shout him out. He's in charge of social for CBS Sports, and he was.
I thought you were gonna.
Oh, no.
Tell me it was like a basketball writer that got called in to do a special assignment. Like I thought you were gonna say it was like Norlander or something like that.
Do you remember in 2018 when I went like all over the SEC and did LSU, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, just sort of like doing tons of video? He was part of my travel team for that. He's a good dude.
Okay. All right. Then here is the Bold and the Beautiful tried to answer with their CBS NCAA promo. Here's what it sounded like.
I'm just saying it's as if you wanted me to see your bracket. It's as if you wanted me to see your Final Four. Admit it. You wanted me to cheat and use it for myself.
You.
This is just as much your fault as it is mine.
You have got some nerve.
Anybody else would have done the same thing.
Copied my entire Midwest region.
Oh.
All right. Grade that one for me.
B+. A- to B+. I mean, these are all awesome. They're really creative. And you copied my entire Midwest region was the improv line. So shout out to her for being able to drop that.
All right, well, that was the best line in there. Okay, well, if the same guy wrote them, because what made the first one great was the man, I'm not getting that word right.
Specificity.
There we go. That's the second in a row. I've stumbled over that one. They nailed like the Plumlee brothers. They were amazing. And then the details were huge. And this one, they just kept going back and forth saying, you copied my bracket. You copied my bracket. But then when she delivered you copied my entire Midwest region, that was back to like, all right, I need those level of details to sell it. And
shout out to the actress there. I mean, I'm sorry I don't have her name pulled up right now, but I've only been seeing like some of the chatter between colleagues and coworkers, just so I'm not the most informed, but
okay.
I'll give it a B+.
Right now, I am offering, Will Brinson is in town. You guys both work for CBS. I think we can go next level. I will film, direct. You guys, the soap opera people have taken the sports thing and put it into their world. Now the sports dudes need to take it back and do a soap opera spoof of an NCAA tournament promo done by soap operas. Is that too next level? But I think we can pull that off.
I think we can pull it off, but I think that the key would be us leaning really hard into the soap opera storyline. Like, what would the story be? Is there some... Is there some like rift in our family and we're brothers, or is it like an ex-lover? There's a love triangle somewhere. Like what's the angle?
I think we got to turn the tables on them and go, we got to research a storyline from one of their things and like actually shout out, much like they do by shouting out Austin Rivers or the Plumlee brothers of the Midwest region, we need to shout out something from the Young and the Restless or the Bold and the Beautiful and just like mix it in. I think we can do this.
Seriously. Well, man, it's too bad that we're about to take over all the daytime spots here on Friday and Monday. Like, we'll find some time to dig into it though.
All right, it's too early to finally judge, but Josh Goodson and I are of different minds. He's totally fine with there not being games today and already anticipating the games on Monday. I am missing my Thursday usual start to the NCAA tournament. Where do you fall, Chip?
I miss my Thursday, but the reason that we have it is because of the COVID protocols. It got bumped back to be able to allow for every single team to go through the necessary 7 days of negative tests and the onboarding process of when you get to Indianapolis and all of that quarantining and isolation that needs to happen before the tournament can actually begin. That's the reason we're doing it. So yes, absolutely. I want it to start at 12:15 on Thursday. Like that is where I wish I was with the start of the round of 64. But
that's what I need. I need the guitar slot.
I think that when you understand that the reason when the reason that we're starting late is so that we can have a tournament at all, I'm like, okay, I get it.
All right, well, it didn't help Moses Wright.
Well, I mean, it helped everyone else in the tournament that Moses Wright got, that we found that Moses Wright wasn't going to be able to play, right?
I guess. But I guess it is interesting to hear you say, well, it allowed everyone to have a 7-day window or whatever, but like, it didn't. Like, if we were going to push it back, why not push it back a whole weekend so that we did have 7 days for everyone from whatever their last game would have been, which would be a lot of teams on Sunday even. Not to get into the whole discussion of whether or not we should push it back. The tournament's upon us. But I do find it funny of being like, yeah, we pushed it back so that we can accommodate people. But there's still going to be people that got tests last weekend that are going to miss their first game.
Yeah, there's I think it's like you start by pushing back the first four and then everything else gets pushed back. And then you bleed onto Monday. And then remember, our Sweet 16 doesn't even start till Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Like messed up now, boy, you're about to get jacked up when we get to the second weekend.
Wait a minute. So there's the second weekend just going to go Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I'm in. I'm actually kind of in on that.
What?
Yeah.
Breaking news. The first four is Thursday.
Friday and Saturday.
Second round is Sunday and Monday. Then we've got a layoff until we get back in action on Saturday night and then do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then you go from Tuesday right into Final Four Saturday in its regular time.
No, I mean, we've been saying this all week as a PSA, and I still got people, like, as I tweeted out, people are like, oh, I'm one of those people. I did not know there weren't games today. But yeah, all right. So I was one of those people that
I might be wrong about the 7-day, like exactly what the protocols are and why they work. Matt Norlander has written about it for like months, and the problem is I've just been so inundated with trying to keep up with everything else. I'm like, well, the protocol is what it is. I'm not going to be able to say that's right, that's wrong. We should do this. I'm smarter, but I just don't have time. It is not worth my effort to try and nitpick something that is going to allow an NCAA tournament to happen. So I can only give you the information that the reason all the timing is a little bit wonky is A, because we don't have to do with travel across the country. Everybody's in the same spot, so we're not dealing with some of the same logistical situations. And B, there's something about those windows to be able to allow for testing that came with recommendation from their medical advisory group.
On the other side, I want to ask Chip. Chip dabbles in the gambling world, yep. And during football, he's big on principles.
Okay,
I want to see if he changes principles for betting college basketball once we're into the tourney. If there's any NCAA tournament principles he goes
Chip by. Patterson's bracket principles and our mock draft participant of the day next on Sports Channel 8. Just a minute, we may mock the draft for a second, but it's NCAA tournament time, and we need to find out how to make money off this thing. What you got, Goodson?
No, I'm just we have Chip on. Chip's all about during football season. We have wind-aided unders, mm-hmm. right? We what are some of your other principles, Chip? In football
how
season?
Much time you got, buddy?
I know.
Like the best thing about there's more principles in the conference tournaments. Like Madison Square Garden early game unders are always a good one. Sight lines are pretty bad there. When we've got like Lucas Oil Stadium, that was another one where you could be able to go and attack. Unfortunately, like Ohio State and Purdue went to overtime. So you're always battling against overtime when you're doing March Madness. But the one that I'm really applying here is actually to jump on the other side of a lot of conference tournament winners, particularly some of these bid thieves. I'm talking Georgia Tech. Well, Georgia Tech won a bid thief. They were probably a 10 seed before they won the ACC tournament. But like the more that I see your players and coaches crying and celebrating that you are able to pull off this amazing accomplishment, the faster I am jumping on the other side. So Georgetown, I got you losing to Colorado. I'm sorry. I love the Patrick Ewing story, but I'm not riding with it. Oregon State, are you kidding me? No chance. You're out of here. Georgia Tech, even before Moses Wright, I was picking Loyola. That's a top 10 team in terms of efficiency margin. So getting on Texas, I've got Abilene Christian taking down the Longhorns. I just think that these teams, when they just exhaust everything, especially in the major conferences, it's the latest conferences to play. I think that there is a little bit of a challenge to be able to restart that motor and turn it right around.
All right. So fading the conference tournament winners. The only one, Josh Goodson was feeling you on that, except for Georgia Tech. He doesn't think Georgia Tech belongs in that category. But
I mean, Loyola doesn't belong as an 8 seed. It hurts Georgia Tech that Loyola got underseeded.
Interesting.
Jose, with the number going up, I think it's like 6. Jose Alvarado is going to keep him. He's enough that's going to keep them around. I still like Georgia Tech, like maybe not to win, but in that spot. That's a lot of points. And Josh Pastner, not a bad coach.
The only thing you've got on the advantage there, like to do the quick betting breakdown of Loyola, Georgia Tech, is that Loyola is a defensive team, and Georgia Tech obviously has been able to like scheme up a lot of good defenses. That's one of the things that Josh Pastner has been able to do. Jose Alvarado, defensive player of the year in the conference. You're basically just taking the dog in one of those classic, like, I'm going to take the underdog in a game that I think is going to have a low total. Oh, Arkansas Colgate basketball on skates. That's an over. Texas Tech, Utah State. That's a rock fight between two defensive teams. That's an under. I mean, a lot of my principles are case by case, where I'm taking a basic knowledge of pace and whether in offensive or defensive efficiency to try to imagine what the final score is going to be. So if you want to take Georgia Tech, I don't hate it, just because it's the idea that the game might be 57 to 53, a game that Loyola leads the entire time, but is never able to pull away and cover that number. But if Georgia Tech can't get stops against Loyola, then that's trouble time for the Yellow Jackets.
I love the people that are like, all right, Chip Patterson, can you help me pick my bracket? And then it's like overs and unders. Like, what? This isn't doing any good for bracket, but the real ones know. The real ones know.
All right, you know, Chip, you know.
With the little time, we've got a couple minutes remaining, which is just enough time for us to take a quick trip down to NFL mock draft land, and it is time to make a mockery of the mock drafts. All right. This week's is more mocking than usual. You ready for this? We've done Penei Sewell, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Caleb Farley even. I thought that was a reach. But I saw one today that made my head spin. Chip Patterson, Matt Williamson from Pro Football Network has the Carolina Panthers with the number 8 pick selecting quarterback Mac Jones from Alabama. What can you tell me about Mac Jones before I get really angry about this?
Why would you get angry?
I don't want Mac Jones. I don't believe in Mac Jones.
I think Mac Jones is a pretty good quarterback.
All right, well, I'll let you. You're the expert. Tell me why.
Because he has like, number one, the numbers are not just schemed up because he's got the best talent around him. It's a player who got better throughout the season. When he had to get thrown in for Tua at the end of the previous year, he got into the Iron Bowl through like back-to-back pick sixes. And you're like, oh my God, this guy, he is screwed. But he ended up throwing for 400 yards in that game. Then you look at this season, and as the course of the year went on, even after Jalen Waddle went down with an injury against Tennessee, he just stepped his game up. He had one bad game against Arkansas, but other than that, I really think that he does a good job of reading a defense, distributing the ball. The knock on Mac Jones is that he's not mobile. And as everybody is trying to find a Pat Mahomes, and as everybody is trying to find a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson, like, there's just no mobility in Mac Jones. He is going to sit back there, and he's going to drop off, or he's going to figure out some way to get rid of the ball before he takes off running, because he's just not much of a threat. But I love his fire. I love the way he competes. And at the beginning of the season, Steve Sarkisian was telling everybody, like, look, we're just going to have him hand the ball off. You're a real game manager. And by the end of the year, you're like, man, this guy is deserving of being a Heisman Trophy finalist. So I don't hate it. I just understand. I would like to see the Carolina Panthers have more weapons for him to distribute to before you bring in Mac Jones.
All right. I guess I'll be open-minded to Mac Jones.
I'll take him ahead of Trey Lance. I'll take him ahead of Zach Wilson. I'll take him behind Fields.
Fair enough.
If there is one thing I cannot abide, it is being mocked.
Yeah, you're mocking the draft. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you Monday when we'll still have games in front of us. Have a good weekend, my man.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
First bit of news. We've been on this all week, but some people still need to know it. People were responding on Twitter being like, I just found out.
There's somebody right now, you know, at 11 o'clock, like finishing up work.
Yep.
Like at the office and like, I'm taking a half day today. I'm probably off tomorrow or maybe half day tomorrow.
Texting your buddy. Hey, where are you watching games?
Where are we meeting?
Yeah. There are not games today. Correction, there are games today, just not real games, the one you're thinking of.
The first four is tonight, 5 o'clock. App State's involved in that. There's 2-11 seed versus 11 seeds.
And 2-16 seeds.
But there's not basketball right. You are not watching The Price is Right right now and leading into basketball.
Correct. You do. Yes. You're not asking.
You're not getting your pets. You're not getting your pets spayed or neutered, and then leading into Greg Gumbel.
You don't even have to have your brackets done yet. The real tournament starts. And NC State plays tonight against Davidson. All of this is true. There is basketball today, but it's not the day you're thinking it is.
Not the real basketball.
Tomorrow is the real day, and it goes through Monday. Then I just found out this today on the show. Next week, we don't start games until Saturday. Normally, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, and then Saturday, Monday, the last weekend. Not this year. We're going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then I figure out.
Then it's the regular.
Okay, then they do a regular Saturday, Monday after that. The other bits of breaking news, Mike Glennon, as broken by our good friend Brandon Bishop, who plays golf with Josh Goodson, is signing as the a quarterback, presumably the backup quarterback, for the New York Giants. That is a sign there. Then the other bit of quarterback news, we mentioned this earlier on the show.
Breaking news?
It's kind of breaking in that the numbers are changing. Deshaun Watson is...
Not a lot of good stuff going on with Deshaun Watson.
It started with one accuser. We are now up to at least three and maybe as high as six. Most of them massage therapists. Suing Deshaun Watson for some claims. There are no criminal charges against Deshaun Watson. It's important to note, and he's denied the allegations against him. But a growing number of people who appear to have massaged Deshaun Watson are now suing him. So we're just keeping tabs on those things. All right, that's the updated news. It is now time to get to the important segment we give you every time this year. Some of these are repeats. Some of these might be new. Bracket guy. Who's the guy you're going to meet? I mean, maybe you're getting together on your Zoom call now, but if you're back at your office, maybe you're going to see this guy at your office. He could be among your circle of friends. We ourselves might be some of these guys. It's people that you're going to encounter over the first week of the NCAA tournament. It is bracket guy. Reminder that, as always, many of these annoying habits are embodied more by men than women. However, there are female bracket guys all the time. So usually the annoying bracket guys are men, but this is a gender neutral. We use the term guy here, but it can be anything because that's just what we call it. All right. We tell you about guys you're going to see on New Year's Eve, you know, guys you'll run into at the beach. This is guys you will find filling out an NCAA tournament bracket. You ready? First up, 12 over 5 guy.
The 12 over 5 upset is what's implanted in our brain every year. Whenever you watch any show, which teams can make the Final Four? Then, like, literally the next segment is which 12 beating a 5.
So is this guy more likely to tell you he's got a 12 over a 5?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he more likely to tell you that a 12 always beats a 5? Like, he's like, oh, 12 usually beats a 5.
Yeah, that guy.
Like, if a 12 is up 3 in the first half, he's like, 12 always beats a 5.
Yep.
I got all 4 of the 12s advancing in my bracket. Side note, don't advance all the 12s in your bracket. You won't win that way.
Right.
All right, next up. Chalk guy takes all one seeds, but here's the thing. Nobody is actually going to take all higher seeds in every pick. So, like, Chalk Guy tries to put some nuance. He'll have three number ones and then a three seed.
Yeah.
And if you call him on it, he's like, no, I got a three.
Like, the three seed he picks this year is, like, Kansas. It's like, dude, it's Kansas. Like, come on. I don't even care that Kansas is not great this year. It's Kansas.
So, all right. So, if you take eight seed UNC and march them to the Final Four.
No, I don't think that's not quite the same. No.
What constitutes Chalk in the Final Four? More than two number one seeds?
Combined total of the seeds less than 6.5.
Okay. All right. So that could be three ones and a three.
Or three ones and a two. Yeah.
Or two ones, two twos.
Yep.
If your Final Four is under 6.5 total on its seed, it's a little chalky.
And Chalk Guy is boring.
Yeah.
No one, like, cool, you might win, because usually, like, picking the best teams ends up working out more often than not, but, like, there's no fun in that.
Be the guy that has George Mason going to the Final Four.
There's no fun in that.
Ride with that. All right.
This year is going to happen. This is a new guy just for this year. Not so much, we have not filling out a bracket guy. Like, that guy's going to tell you, oh, I didn't do one. This year more than ever, because it was a weird year, hard to keep up with hoops. There's going to be the guy that wins and is doing well. He's going to be like, I didn't even watch as much basketball this year as I usually do.
Sandbagging guy?
Well, not even so much sandbagging, but he's going to make sure to tell you, like, this year, and I actually would qualify myself as that guy this year, because outside of NC State and then a little bit of, like, other ACC, I didn't watch any, like, I wasn't, like, watching Big Monday, ESPN, like, whoever the Big 12 game was or big. I know less about other stuff than more than ever. Not even know less. Like, none of us know everything, but I've watched less other teams and such. But that's going to happen this year.
All right. Well, I think this.
It's a different year, casual year. Just been kind of keeping up with a little bit. I don't even know when we play half the time. but that guy's going to be up there.
This next one might fit you too. Conference homer guy, but there's a twist on this. I fall victim to being conference homer guy, where I'm like, I saw Virginia Tech play. They looked good against UNC. I'm taking Virginia. Georgia Tech, they won the ACC.
Yeah.
They got to be an Elite Eight team, right? You just keep advancing them, guys. You're kind of the opposite. It's not that you're pro ACC. It's that you have conference stereotypes burned into your mind.
So it's kind of like, what do we always say in bowl season? And then the SEC plays the Big Ten.
Like, take the SEC squad.
Like, I'm that this year with the Big Ten.
You're picking against them.
Get out of here with all of them.
You think they're overhyped?
All of them.
I mean, there's, like, of the Big Ten teams, I think eight of them are in the top 10.
Yeah, whatever.
Like that.
Whatever.
Like Iowa, Illinois, Ohio State.
Just because you beat each other.
Michigan State.
Just because you beat each other and you inflated your numbers
and such.
They're
all good. They're all
whatever.
Good. Big Ten.
This is different basketball now.
Watch out this year. All right.
Multiple bracket guy. See, and I have an issue with this.
Okay.
I have multiple brackets. I am multiple bracket guy. I am not going to be the guy that if I win one is going to try to claim as if I don't have multiple brackets.
Okay.
And I'm multiple bracket guy because I'm in pools. I want the chance to win.
Okay.
I'm in multiple pools. I don't have the same bracket in every pool. That's not good. That's not the best odds of trying to win something. Is that okay?
Yeah, but some people would say, like, a bracket of integrity. Like, if you have a good bracket, then you might win all
I don't care.
Pools.
Then if the pools I'm in, if they only say you can only have one bracket, so be it.
In that pool.
Right.
Like, yeah, nobody can prevent you from being in another pool.
Right.
But what about the fact of 1 year?
You can be multiple bracket guy as long as you're not out there trying to say, as long as you don't do that, well, in my other bracket, I did have that 14 over the three. That's ridiculous.
It's all about transparency.
Yeah.
If you have multiple brackets.
Guess what? I'm probably going to have a 12 beating a 5 in one bracket, and in another one, I'm not. Yeah. And it's purely just to diversify my brackets in hopes of winning some pools.
We'll put the integrity piece of it aside. And I don't really care about that either. But do you think, won't you be mad if you have, like, let's say the bracket you did first is the one that
sure.
you really believe in, right? What if that one ends up being a really good bracket, and if you had replicated it four times and
don't
put
care.
It in four different pools, you might have won all of them?
Don't care.
All right.
I mean, it's random luck anyways, so don't
all right.
care.
Then these are all three related ones. Ready?
Yeah.
You got blindly picked your team as a homer guy. Like, if you're a UNC fan, are you obligated to advance UNC past Baylor?
I mean, they're beating Baylor this year.
See, you're coming up in a second. Don't worry.
They're doing that.
We've got you
they're
in a second.
They're doing that. The hills are riding high, baby.
No, reverse jinx, guys, coming up in a second. All right, if NC State's in the field, do you feel beholden to take NC State?
No.
You don't have to take them all the way, but do you have to take them one round further than you think they might get?
Hayes, I look at the matchups. I start with the matchups. I look at the jinx guy again. The offense and defense efficiencies. And if it just doesn't work out with the numbers, I'm going to – you know, I'll go against them if I have to.
So you've got blindly pick your team homer guy. Yeah. That's the UNC fan that's got – any UNC fan that's got them anywhere past Baylor, it's like – it's just because you're a UNC fan, right? I don't know.
I think they're playing well.
Next up is emotional hedge fan guy.
Sure.
Like if you're a UNC fan, you're like, I'm not taking them to beat Baylor. I don't mind because if my bracket is screwed, I'll be happy because my team's in it, right? So, like, you split. I'm either going to get my team's going to win or my bracket's going to be good.
Sure.
So, that's the emotional hedge guy. But then there's you, reverse jinx guy.
No.
I used to do this for years with Virginia.
No.
Where I was like, I'm putting Virginia winning it all. Then when they lose, I'll look like an idiot, but at least Virginia didn't win, right? You are reverse jinx guy. How many of your 17 brackets – do you have UNC beating Baylor in?
Legit, like over half. Because I
reverse jinx guy.
I'm not. No
reverse jinx guy.
I've been on UNC since January.
Reverse jinxing the heels since January. Yes, I know it. You are reverse jinx guy.
And it's I don't trust Baylor. I don't trust them. Right. They're not playing great right now. They haven't been the same.
Reverse jinx.
Who are the other one seeds? Gonzaga.
Yep.
Like, would you think UNC has a better chance of beating Gonzaga?
No.
Illinois?
Maybe.
So you think Illinois would have been a better, or Michigan?
Yeah, or UNC could have gotten a seven seed and then had to play a two. That's what they should have gotten.
So they're underseeded?
You're reverse jinx guy.
No,
they're fair. Those are the bracket guys that you might run into, or. Ladies, the bracket guys or ladies, you might run into this first weekend.
I mean, for girls, you have supposedly office secretary person who doesn't watch games but wins the pool.
Oh, you've always got that person. The person who wins the pool is almost always the person who cares.
It could be office secretary. It could be the office engineer who doesn't watch sports ever too. Yes. He's just like in it.
It's Carl from accounting. He doesn't watch sports.
Carl, like, legit goes by KenPom and BPI and all those metrics. He's like, I'm just going to follow the numbers. Like, I'm a numbers guy. And then they
win. Those are the people you might meet. NC State plays Davidson in the NIT tonight.
And we are blessed to be one of the 84 teams remaining playing basketball.
Kevin
Hayes Permar.
Kevin Keats is in March. He's in the postseason of his messaging right now.
If you miss that, that's what he said. He said that yesterday in his press conference. It was just like
to be one of 84 teams left playing in our season.
Just
blessed to be one of 84 teams left. The NIT. I mean, wait a minute. Do we not have the CBI and the CIT this year?
I think the CBI does still exist.
Right, so hold on.
So it'd be like 92 teams remaining.
We need to check his math. We got this. I don't see any CBI.
There is a CBI.
That's just for today. Yeah. No CBI games today, but there are CBI games at some point. I'm assuming. Oh yeah. Look at these teams in the CBI. Stetson, Bowling Green, Coastal Carolina, Bryant, Longwood, Pepperdine, Bellarmine, Army. Kevin Keats needs to do his math again. They're 92. One of 92 teams.
Still playing hoops.
Hold on. Do we have a CIT? Is there any CIT this year? I don't see any CIT games.
While we're talking this subject real quick of just like teams left and stuff, the women's tournament starts this coming weekend as well. It is pretty embarrassing that NC State's not – they got a one seed.
Right.
But things you read and odds, they're like the seventh best odds to win.
Oh, they're being disrespected by Vegas
now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's – I guess that's a combo of
– I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure they got the hardest path of any of the one
seeds. So what you're saying is a futures bet on State to win it all is good odds.
Yeah, they're like 16.
Good value right now.
They're like 16 to 1 to win it all or something like that.
I mean, there's nobody that they can't beat. They've taken out South Carolina, I guess, you know.
Probably UConn.
Maybe.
I feel like it's always UConn.
It's always godforsaken UConn. All right, but so we've got an NIT. We've got an NCAA. We've got an NCAA tournament on the women's side. We've got a CBI, we found out.
Yeah.
So, again, Kevin Keats, you're group of teams remaining is a little bit larger than 84, but we get your point. We like it. But the most important tournament of all is the Sports Channel 8 Bracket of Stuff tournament. This year, we're just doing an NIT version. We didn't feel like doing 64 items of stuff. We're going with 16 items of stuff. Are you ready to reveal the regions and the brackets with, of course, accompanying sound effects for all?
Sure.
You think you can handle this, Josh Goodson?
Sure.
All right, first up, in the Triangle region, the one seed in the NIT Bracket of Stuff is so speeding tickets from airplanes.
Ooh.
Sir, I'm already pulled over!
He's already pulled over! He can't pull over any farther!
The guy, the same dude who called in to confirm to us that in Virginia you actually can't... this is rewind here. We were talking on the show. We think the entire state of Virginia is just bluffing us by saying speed checked by aircraft. Somebody called in and confirmed his friend has gotten a speeding ticket.
Sure.
So watch out, especially in the Northern Virginia area. That was a great recall. All right, next up, in the Triangle region, in the NIT Bracket of Stuff, two seed, steak dinners with referees.
You can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass.
Shout out to Ted Valentine and crew. The three seed, bedside water.
Does the defense's case hold water?
That was a great call yesterday. There was actually specifics to that one. 3 a.m., cold water, sitting at your bedside table. That is the stuff for the three seed. And the four seed is Pillsbury Lucky Charms cookie dough.
Uh-oh, those kids that have to be Lucky Charms.
In the Triad region, the one seed is a timely topical pick, Josh Pastner's face shield.
Hello, this is Josh Pastner.
That's his voicemail. Good sounder, but the item is actually his face shield. Number two seed in the Triad, weighted blankets.
That's because a lot of people swear by weighted blankets.
I don't even know where you got that from. Are you a weighted blanket guy?
No.
Some people, it's a big thing. The three seed in the Triad is not just John Tesh. It is not just Round Ball Rock. It is John Tesh, Pac Pro, playing Round Ball Rock. Solid. And then the four seed in the Triad, Brian Geisker will be happy to learn that legalization did make the field. Legalization.
It's just a judge's gavel.
Gotcha. I didn't know. I thought that might have been a knock at the door and there was going to be something after that. All right. Moving to the other side of the bracket, we've got the Beaches region. Again, Triangle, Triad, Beaches, and then our fourth region is JoCo. In the Beaches region, the one seed, day drinking. All right. The two seed in the Beaches region is another one close to our heart here at the show. Bojangles Kids Supreme Meals.
It's bow time.
Bow time means it's time to get in my truck and come here and eat.
Do I need to give context?
Always. We rewind that one.
Bojangles Kids Supreme Meals is the best deal in all of fast food.
It's good value.
You get the same biscuit and the same side as a normal Supreme dinner. It says on the menu it's two Supremes, but there's basically a 5% chance you only get two Supremes.
Right.
There's like a 35% it's three. Then there's like another 35% it's four. And then there's like a weird chance that you could get like five.
Even
Because if you're thinking of someone gathering, getting them from the basket, they're never just going to give you one.
Right.
You never get one because it just doesn't look right.
You can't short a person who bought two by one.
Right.
You can't do that.
And when you've got the tongs out, there's a good chance you could get three or four in a tong, and then you're just like, well, you're not going to pick.
You're not putting them back.
You're not putting them back. It's the best thing ever.
I love how you sold Swain on this. I guarantee. I want the numbers on this, Bojangles. I want Bojangles.
How many Supreme Kids Supremes?
In the 99.9 fan listening area in the past, when did we start this trend?
Probably a year.
Two years. The number.
And the biggest thing is it's like a dollar and a half cheaper than the normal Supreme meal.
It's worth the risk. It's a value bet, right? Yeah. I mean, if you end up, you just get two Supremes. Also, if you only get two Supremes.
You probably only need two anyways.
It's probably enough. Just what you needed, okay?
Yeah.
Quit being so greedy. Okay, quit being an overindulgent American, just contributing to the obesity of our society. Just eat your two Supremes.
The odds of getting two or like the odds of getting three or more are way, way, way higher than like getting just two.
Yeah. And then and you're not getting less.
Yeah.
They're never giving it to you with zero. And you can see if you're just picking up one, you're like, oh, I need to get more. All right. So the
best deal in all of fast food.
That is the two seed in the Beaches region. The three seed in the Beaches region, Clever Wi-Fi Names. You know what a great one was? And I get my River golf clubs mixed up. There's two ones that start with River in that are both in Clay. There's River Ridge
and River Wood. Correct.
Where did we play the 99-9 tournament last? At River Wood, I believe. Wasn't that at River Wood?
Correct.
Yes. We were at River Wood and I asked to use their Wi-Fi because we were doing the show remotely there. And the name of their Wi-Fi was like FBI surveillance. Like I love ones that are like
right.
that. But then you just, my neighbors, shout out my old neighbors. It used to be Fruit Snacks and Ponytails
because
they had two little girls. I love clever Wi-Fi names. And the four seed in the Beaches region, Oreos. Oreos.
Love four seed. Cookie.
A Cookie Monster shout out. And finally, in the JoCo region, the one seed, plastic golf tees.
Talk about a hole in one.
When it comes to playing golf, there are certain things I'm like, I will spend time doing. Like, I try to be, I prepare my divot guy, but that's about it. I'm not going above and beyond. And,
right.
And I'm pretty fast playing golf.
Sure.
I will stay on a tee box for 10 minutes to find the little short plastic tee that you would use on like a par three. I will spend more time doing that just to find that because it's like, you can't really find them in pro shops.
Yeah.
You have to find them. Because other people lost them.
Just use the a broken off.
Nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I feel like if I lose it, like I'll never get one again.
The little plastic. All right, the plastic golf tees. So should we make it little plastic golf tees of the one seed, or just plastic golf tees?
Plastic golf tees is fine.
All right, the two seed, near and dear to our heart, Pack Pros.
Dives for the end zone, touchdown, Wolfpack.
I mean, there's some pretty good two seeds in this particular. I mean, that Bojangles Kid Supremes. I like the two seeds that we have going.
The three seed in the JoCo region are the strawberry candies you buy from your grandmother's house that you get from your grandmother
yeah.
that you never see her buy. That was like part of the due tip. Like somehow you've never seen her buy these candies.
Nah, you don't
get, she yeah. has an endless supply of them.
Want some candy?
And the final entrant in the NIT bracket of stuff. The four seed, and apparently this has a name, but we just refer to it as the plastic at the end of the shoelaces.
One shoelace? Yo, man, you know how much some shoes cost you? One shoelace?
Do you know the name?
No. Somebody sent it to us.
I think.
The thing they said, if it's accurate, I don't want to say it if it's wrong, because it sounds like I'm saying something salacious when I'm not.
Okay.
Like the word, like if I use the word titillating... That's a proper use of that word, but if I use it wrong and it's the wrong word.
Is it aglet?
I don't know. That's not what the guy said to us. I think I've actually heard that before. That'll be one of the mysteries we unlock through the course of this tournament.
Okay.
If the plastic at the end of the shoelaces advances to the next round, we'll find out what the actual name is. And just like the NCAA tournament, we got a couple of COVID entrants, like alternates.
Replacements.
Just in case somebody can't compete. We've got COVID alternates. First up is hammocks. Hammocks from our guy Dennis Cox. We don't have sounders for those because they're just alternates. Okay?
Because hammocks don't make a sound either.
Well, yeah. We'll get, if they make it in the tournament, we'll get a sound for them. And then finally, the COVID alternate, the shower diverter.
Yeah.
It was last year's... if it wasn't the winning team last year, it was one of the most popular. The thing... that makes the water go from the faucet to the shower head, which we found out last year was the diverter. This year, we need to find out the name of the plastic at the end of the shoelaces. That is your bracket of stuff. I don't even know when we're going to advance these because I'm still thrown off by the whole NCAA tournament schedule. Maybe we'll do a region tomorrow with some games, but we will flip a coin and find out who wins the NIT bracket of stuff. You can follow along all March. We have NCAA tournament games today, but
not the
kind you're thinking of.
Okay? I'm telling you, 24 minutes, there's a guy, the laptop is doing this.
He's closing
the laptop, headed to like a local L house, or
he's like, let's go.
Yeah, me.
And then he's going to see like on
CBS. He's printing out a bracket to take with him.
He'll see like some games on TVs, but he can't quite figure out like, wait, is one of these live? Like, is there an actual game going on? No. The NCAA tournament games start at 5 o'clock tonight, and there's only four of them.
It's the first four.
Which, by the way, why couldn't they have just played one of these at noon? Like, or give me a 12:30, a 3 o'clock, a 6 o'clock, and an 8:30.
I would watch the hell out of Texas Southern and St. Mary's.
No, you need to put UCLA, Michigan State, 12:30, and then it would feel like an actual NCAA tournament game. They screwed that up. All right, but a couple things.
So there's games tonight.
A couple things tangential to the NCAA tournament started tonight.
Okay? Yeah.
First is this. If you want to place a sports wager in North Carolina.
Legally.
For years, we've had to say.
Legally in person. Like in person.
Yes. We've had to say we only gamble where it's legal. We only tell you about it when we win. That's what we say on Sports Channel 8. Starting today, you can place a legal bet in North Carolina. Asterisk. Come down to the bottom. Here's what the asterisk says. Obviously, sports betting is not legal yet in North Carolina. However, much like casinos in general, there are parts of North Carolina that operate under a different set of rules, namely the federal reservations for Native Americans in the western part of our state. And we've got, I think, two casinos now.
They're the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians are basically who own these, run these. And there's one in Cherokee, which Cherokee's roughly 45 minutes or so west of Asheville. Then if you go even further to the point, you know, the Murphy to Manteo slogan in Murphy is the other Harris Cherokee
casino
as well.
So there are two casinos and resorts. They have other things there too that now offer sports betting as well. So if you hop in your car, you got time to get there because the games don't start till 5 o'clock. You can place bets on NCAA tournament games. The other thing that we noticed, and Josh Goetz, you pointed this out. I thought it was a very astute point. Appalachian State plays tonight at 8:40 first four, right?
And I was thinking about them because, yeah, they're playing that. They don't make the NCAA tournament a ton, and they got on a heater at the end of the year and won a conference tournament and got in. And it shows because when you're in the play-in game of 16s, that means your conference was one of the lower of the rated conferences.
Sure.
That's how they rate that.
Right.
And such. So,
even if you're a good team in that conference, you're not getting higher than a 16 or 15 seed in some of those conferences.
It got me thinking. I was like, why isn't, like, we've talked on the show about why isn't ECU better in basketball? Why isn't East Carolina doing as well in football as they used to be or whatever? And why are they not in the Sun Belt?
Would the Sun Belt be a better fit for East Carolina sports? Look at everything.
Like, and I know that the answer is going to be no, the American is a better, more prestigious conference with better teams and schools and blah, blah, blah. But in my opinion, it's not so much better. The gap between being in the American, if you're in the American or Sun Belt, you're roughly still as far away from the ACC.
Right.
As far as like prestige and Power Five type thing. If you're in the American, it doesn't matter to be in the best of the others, in my opinion. And it's shown that for basketball purposes, I don't know if ECU is ever going to compete in the American.
At their current state, you don't even see them making a 4-day tournament run.
No.
You're just not knocking off, you know, a number two seed.
There's Cincinnati, Houston, yeah. Memphis, like big really,
programs,
really good.
Big athletic budgets.
Who have history and such. And it's like the way it's currently, the trajectory right now, like, you don't just see that changing overnight.
Nah.
But then you look in the mountains, first off, App, and when it comes to football, they've been able to kind of keep their name relevant, and people know App State. A couple years ago when they beat South Carolina, they were talked about making a group of five because they were undefeated and all those things. Like, they're in the same position that East Carolina is when it comes to football, but they're excelling in a slightly easier conference. And then basketball, they did get lucky, or
right.
You won four straight games, and now you're making the NCAA tournament. Yep. Way more likely to do that in the Sun Belt than in the American.
And then when
basketball is not your number one priority to begin with.
To your point, there are a lot of people who would say, oh, the AAC is much better than the Sun Belt of football. Yeah, we get that part. But it's not so great that, like, if you're looking at a season ticket package, does Houston fire you up that much more
than Lafayette,
than Arkansas State, or Lafayette? Yeah,
we just saw the last couple of years at the Sun Belt.
Like
if you're
good and Lafayette's good, like you'll sell out Daddy Ficklin Stadium.
Like losing to Lafayette was like a top 25 team last year. App State's like a perennial
top 25
team. It just got me seeing them play tonight. It just made me even further I'm a State guy. Yep. But I want ECU to be good, because when they are good in sports and like especially it's football, fun. Like they're great in baseball. And guess what? When they're hosting regionals and NC State's there, or they're hosting those weeknight games, those games are fun and electric. And when they're good in football, they're fun. And like they should be better in basketball. They're not going to get better in basketball probably in the AAC. And I'm like, well, if they went to the Sun Belt, what are they giving up? And I don't know what they're – I don't know. I don't think that – they're giving up much.
It would look like a step backwards now if you took it in the eyes of some fans. But like if you were creating things from zero, if you weren't in a conference already and you were just creating from scratch, I think you make a great point that the Sun Belt would be a very good fit for ECU.
And you've got to build in like in-state rival too that you're playing every year.
State.
You're playing at. Like, and you're close to I believe the other schools are like the Georgia States and Georgia Southerns and way, way, way better geographically than Cincy, UTEP,
Tulane,
or you know, I don't even know if they're in the AC, but
yeah,
I know that UTEP may still be in the old Conference USA, but Tulsa,
yeah,
is giving up playing Tulsa every year and subbing in Arkansas State that big of a deal?
Yeah,
and I just think I think from winning, because winning is all that really matters. Like no one cares that absent the Sun Belt. And they're, you know, maybe playing easier games or whatever. Like, if you're 11-1 or 12-0 every year, no one cares.
And you still get.
And you're still selling out. Like, ECU's having problems right now. They're not winning. They're playing teams that no one cares about. And
you still get your non-conference games. You try and play UNC or NC State once every
South
4 years.
South Carolina, West Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah, you can schedule those.
I don't know. It got me thinking. I was like, that could be ECU.
But you see App State, and you see it every year. You hear App State talked about during college football season, the culture they've created. And that's sort of what ECU used to have in their heyday of football that we don't quite see right now. I think it's a very good point.
ECU to the Sun Belt.
You heard it here first. The other games tonight outside of the NCAA tournament, we do have the NIT. It started last night.
We've said it seven times and still can't remember who won. Western Kentucky won and Richmond won.
Western Kentucky beat St. Mary's, Richmond over Toledo tonight. In addition to NC State Davidson, it is SMU against Boise State.
We got to make a bet.
Oh, NC State Davidson.
I mean, you're a Wildcat.
Wait a minute. I have college credits from both Davidson.
How many schools did you attend in some form or fashion?
Technically, just three. I have credits from Davidson, NC State, and UNC.
I thought you had some UVA sprinkled in there too.
No,
UVA. You like to fake that you were a UVA guy. You had friends up there and party with them, so people just assume you like. Had a stint in Charlottesville as well.
Well, here's the question: the thing, you're not an alum of either Davidson
are you like divided, Davidson and NC State?
NC State, the two schools?
I don't know. Is this your worst nightmare?
Yeah, for these two schools to square off against each other. All right, no, we can win.
Do we bet a Bojangles Kids Supreme meal?
Yes. All right, we will put a Bojangles Kids Supreme dinner on. Are we betting on the line?
It's like one or one and a half. We'll
one
just
and a half. Davidson's favorite.
We'll do straight up.
All right. Big game tonight. My Wildcats versus
Your Wolfpack.
Versus Josh Goodson's Wolfpack. That will be the play tonight. Brian Geisker even had – we wanted to go through the entire NIT field and see if Brian Geisker can tell us an NBA prospect from every team.
Yeah.
He had somebody from Davidson, and I'll forget who it was. But it's some dude that like shoots the lights out. So watch out for that tonight.
Is Davidson still good since Steph Curry? Or are they kind of
they're back to what they were? But you know, they were always a good program, but very, very undermanned. They're like Wake Forest, but even on like a different level.
Okay.
And then when they had a Steph Curry, they were then a competitive team. They haven't had a NBA superstar on their team.
Is it time for Bob McKillop to go? Or what are the Davidson message boards like these days? You're on there, right? What's your handle?
No, Bob McKillop he's like David Cutcliffe. No, he's Bob McKillop is basketball at Davidson. Actually, that's not true either. Lefty Trujillo coached there. What? Bob McKillop can do whatever he wants to Davidson. He'll be there exactly as long as he
wants to. Bob McKillop has been there for
over 30 years.
1989.
Yeah. So 32 years.
He went to East Carolina. And Hofstra played there.
I did not know that. Normally at this time, Adam Gold steps in to tell us what's happening noon to three on the Adam Gold Show, but I believe he is so deep in prepping he won't be able to join us. But I still wanted to mention that you can get the Canes Corner podcast with host Adam Gold. Every day after the game, you get the morning after Canes Corner podcast. There'll be a new one out tomorrow after the game, and that podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. With
just had a text,
okay,
from a friend, and
he said, "Is it a mad ECU fan?" That,
no,
okay.
He said, "Coastal Carolina also is in the Sun Belt."
Yeah,
that'd be a great.
Makes a lot of sense.
Basically, says that'd be a great tailgate. That's an easy when ECU's down there, you make the trip down to Myrtle.
ECU
and then Coastal's
be
good
in the Sun Belt.
ECU should be in the Sun Belt.
Coastal, App State.
I don't think they would. They would not drop off. They wouldn't lose ticket sales. I don't think they wouldn't drop off the map as far as like being good.
This makes too much
when
sense.
It comes to basketball, I think it would be an easier road for them to get better in that program, in that sport as well.
ECU to the Sun Belt. Let's make it happen. With the few minutes we have remaining, we have
no
just,
one else is
going
to talk about
time.
ECU to the Sun Belt in sports radio today.
to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or rightly read. This is CBS's fault. It's your fault for not having games starting at 12:15 today.
The Showcase Showdown should be about to start.
And everybody should just be peeing themselves getting ready.
Showcase Showdown about to start. Everybody's bidding today and such, but not happening.
All right. It is time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
That's the best sounder.
Rightly Rated, brought to you by WaveCheck. You can effectively and successfully treat your ED for good with no pills, no pain. To schedule a free consultation, just text the word WAVE. The 32-32-32. First up, a Rightly Rated. Free throws. Are free throws overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because I don't think I'd ever seen this before. Last night, Kyle Kuzma of the Los Angeles Lakers airballed a technical free throw. Here's what it sounded like.
That is the definition of look at the bench. Watch your head.
That's one where the big rebounder in the sky just evened out everything.
I don't know if I've ever seen that, Marquise. An airball technical free throw.
I don't think I ever have either, to be honest with you.
That is incredible.
He's wiping his hands like his hands.
Look at the bench. Oh my goodness, watch your head.
Yeah, you got to wipe your hands as if they were like slippery after that. And yes, the Warriors bench did a great reaction, all acted like they were scared that the airball free throw was going to hit them. I will say this. I'm a decent basketball player, decent pickup player. I always sucked at free throws. And yeah, I should just work on it more, but I don't work on free throws because you don't shoot them in pickup.
Sure.
But occasionally when I would play rec league, I'd go to the line and like, I've airballed a free throw before. And if I were given technical free throws, I'd probably airball one. Are free throws overrated, underrated, or rightly rated, Josh Goodson?
Free throws are overrated.
No, they're underrated. They're the number one way to decide if the refs are screwing you.
Fair.
You look at the free throw count, and if you have fewer free throws than the other team, then the refs are absolutely screwing you. That's what free throw stats are used for.
Can I interject a rightly rated? Can I go off script?
What would ever stop you from going off script?
I want you to rightly rate this situation.
Okay.
Got a vaccine yesterday.
Okay.
And it was an odd situation of the ability of being able to get one from someone who works in the medical field who was at work, and it was going to expire.
You get sort of a last minute call.
That's happening.
These.
That's not like
yeah,
it's me. Like
that's a good thing.
That's kind of happening. There was only one dose left.
Okay. You got the call. You got one dose left, and
my wife got mad at me because I didn't offer it to her. Should I have offered her my shot, my dose of hope?
Did you like tell her you were going to get it?
And yeah, she went,
and she didn't get offered.
I was like, "Hey, I just got a call. I'm getting a vaccine in 30 minutes." She's like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "And I'm not. What about me?" I was like, "But she only had one. What? You didn't offer it to me?"
I think,
is this like a sickness and health thing? I should have punted.
All right. Now, there is some logic behind
Okay. The
two of you should have decided which person is most at risk and going out there most. And that might have been you, right? But I do think you needed to at least bring up that subject. And if it wasn't offering it to her, it would be offered to make the best decision between the two of you. That's how I'd say.
Okay. I think I made the right decision.
All right. But just taking it. You never know. You might never know.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, Bojangles Kid Supreme Meal on the line.
NC State versus Davidson in the NIT. The real NCAA tournament doesn't start till tomorrow. Don't be disappointed.
Well, it does tonight.
The first four. But the real NCAA tournament.
There is not basketball coming on in 12 minutes.
It's just going to be the noon news. Keep it tuned.
Shout out to WRAL. Watch them. There's some storms coming later.
Yeah, be ready for the storms. And keep it tuned here for 99.9 The Fan. We'll bring you actual NCAA tournament games tomorrow. Sports Channel 8, we out.
You've been listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday at noon. Thanks again for listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast.